I'm Matt Costella of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association in Fresno, California, along with Pastor Gary Friel of the Grace Bible Church of Fresno. And once again, we do appreciate your willingness to tune in as we consider questions and issues that we face in the world, in the church, and in our lives each day. We want to take time in this particular podcast to deal with a question that always seems to come up. It's come up for 2,000 years, I mean, since the first century, since the time of Jesus Christ. It's a particular doctrinal issue and a question that seems to permeate, especially during the Christmas and Easter times of the year, a question that seems to permeate not only the secular media and the secular press, but even professing, you know, Christian churches and denominations raise the issue of the deity of Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ. All of the cults that exist out there today, whether they be Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or whatever, you know, Scientologists and Christian Science, and all of these have an improper view of the person of Jesus Christ. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is eternally God. He is the Son of God from, you know, eternity past, and is God the Son. And so my first question, and Pastor Gary here, of course, is with me again today. And the first question I want to bring up for those maybe who are listening who may wonder, why is it so important? Why is it so important to emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ? Why is it so important? Why do Christians make such a big deal about the fact that Jesus Christ is and always was and always will be God?
Right.
Pastor Gary.
It goes to the very person of God. I mean, if you're going to understand God from the Old Testament, you have to understand, you know, you have to have a proper perspective. I mean, he was then the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, from before the creation of the world. You have to have a proper understanding of him. You have to also have a proper understanding of Christ and what we've come to know as the substitutionary atonement. If he was not the eternal God, if he was some being less than God, then the sacrifice that he paid on the cross of Calvary was not sufficient to pay for the sins of all the world.
That's right. That would be, you know, any other person or creation, then in that sense, you know, would have died on the cross, right, for the sins of the world.
Right.
And therefore, that would certainly not be a sufficient or an atoning sacrifice.
Right. The Bible is unambiguous. It is crystal clear when it affirms his deity. It is something, frankly, that we can't, with our finite minds, we can't grasp how the eternal God could be a human being, how God could become man in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We can't explain it scientifically. We can't explain it historically. But it is something we embrace.
That's a good point. I think that when you think of the groups that refuse to accept the deity of Jesus Christ,
right,
you know, the reasoning behind that usually centers around the fact that he, you know, they don't deny his existence.
Right.
I mean, he
right,
was a man.
Yeah.
But we can't wrap our finite minds around the fact that this man, the God, could be God.
Right.
That Jesus is God. That he always has been God.
Right.
And so basically, it seems to me that it comes down to a lack of, well, we'll get to this in a minute, but because we can't understand it, then we just don't believe it.
Right. Right. And
we can't wrap our minds around it, and so faith doesn't come into the picture. So we just deny it.
And I'm saying from my perspective, there are many things about God that I can't understand. There are many things about Jesus Christ that, frankly, in eternity, we will occupy our minds learning and growing about Christ, about the humanity and the deity of Christ that will just, I believe, occupy our minds for all eternity when we get to glory. We just can't grasp it, but we have to embrace it, because
right,
those are things that the Bible is crystal clear about, that God became man in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. I stake my eternal destiny on that. You stake your eternal destiny on that.
Well, so that kind of brings us to the next question. I mean, does the Bible claim that Jesus is God?
I believe throughout his public ministry when he was here on earth, he made two stupendous claims about himself. One, he claimed to be the Christ. He claimed to be the Messiah. And you see that in Matthew 16, when he asked Peter and the disciples, whom do men say, or who do you say that I am? And they say, the first answer, thou art the Christ, you're the Messiah. But then the second answer is the Son of the living God. When the term Son of God is used, when Christ uses it of himself, and when his disciples use it of him, he's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be deity, 100% deity. And you see that in Matthew 16. You see it later when he has the conversation with Mary and Martha, when he raises Lazarus from the dead. You see it later when he's on trial and they're trying to put him to death, and they're doing it because he, being a man, they said, makes himself to be God. So they understood clearly what he was claiming. He was claiming to be God. And it wasn't just the claim that he was making. He was proving it. He proved his deity by the miracles that he performed.
The very fact that the word is often used, signs, you know, the word is, you know, miracles, and right, then oftentimes we hear the word signs. We just use that term loosely and flippantly. Jesus did signs, as if something was amazing. No, a sign points to something else. Yeah. And the purpose of the signs was to point to the fact that Jesus was, you know, a sign. It's showing that Jesus was who he claimed to be.
Right.
You know, God manifest in the flesh.
Someone mentioned this a while back, that the word sign is, it's not some miracle thing, miracle working thing. It means a badge or a marker of something. And that's what he was doing, these things to authenticate his messiahship and his deity.
Right. It's incredible to even, this is why even the words of scripture are so important.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a reason the word signs are used when the word sign is used. There's a reason the word miracle is used when, you know, the word miracle is used. You know, in John chapter 1, when John says he was before me, I mean, and if we even were to keep reading, and of his fullness have, verse 16, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by, and then here's the first time he's mentioned Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus the Messiah.
Right.
John continues, no man hath seen God at any time. Now, those that are trying to say, see, Jesus wasn't God, we'll pull this verse out of context. Again, we need to consider the whole context. They just said Jesus was God, the Word from the beginning.
Yep.
John's talking here about God the Father. No man hath seen God in the sense of God the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, we know the word declared comes from the word, the idea of exegeted him.
Right.
He is absolutely perfectly making known who God the Father is in his very person of the Son. And then John continues then, this is the record of John, and goes through the Gospel of John and, you know, writes these things, as he says in the very last chapter, so that we might believe. I mean, the key thesis of the entire Gospel of John is found in John. The I'm turning there, trying to get there. I have a different Bible, so the pages are harder to get to here. But and many other signs truly did Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, why? Just so we can be amazed at something Jesus did? No, that ye might believe that Jesus is, here it is, the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's incredible. I mean, that's an incredible statement.
Yeah. I mean, from the very beginning of the book of John, the gospel, he starts off, you know, we mentioned this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then all things were made by him. Well, who made all things?
Right.
God. Well, but he's not talking simply about the Father,
right.
He's talking about, in that context, he's talking about the second person, the Son. So And you go over to Colossians. I love Colossians 1.
I was just going to say.
He says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven. All things. And, you know, we've talked about this before. The little word all throughout the book of Colossians was just incredible. Everything was created by him and for him. And he was before all things, verse 17, and by him all things consist. And then you go over to chapter 2, and, you know, we've talked about this before. This is one of my favorite passages. Not just for the deity of Christ, but for just anything. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything it means to be God, is found in Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, that's you know, I mentioned this a few Sundays ago. We've gotten used to this idea.
Right.
That, oh yeah, Jesus is God.
Right.
Well, stop and think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
It is. All the
astounding,
fullness.
I should say astounding, because it is credible.
Yeah,
the Bible says it, but it's astounding to
it
us.
It is. All the fullness.
Yeah.
All the fullness, and not even just the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the person of who he is. That is probably my favorite verse. I mean, describing who God is in who Jesus is in his fullness as God in bodily form, God the Son. So it's clear, I mean, it is really clear in Scripture that the Bible declares Jesus to be God, God manifest in the flesh, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But we hear a lot of times from especially, you know, theological academics and or secular academics, well, Jesus never claimed anywhere in the Bible to be God. He never made that claim of himself.
Right.
They often say that was something imposed or superimposed upon him, you know, by his disciples who were downtrodden after his death and all of these kinds of things. You know, I I'm simple, but I do read the Bible, and I know what it says. It very clearly in John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus declared, I and my Father are one.
Yeah.
We have Jesus in John chapter 14 saying in verse 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father.
Right.
I mean, and then, you know, you look at the reaction of those who were listening to him, you know, the religious leaders of the day. They weren't standing there or sitting there listening to him thinking, oh, he's not claiming deity. He's not claiming to be God. They took up stones to stone him because of the very fact that they knew what he was claiming.
Yeah.
So it's incredible to me 2,000 years later that these, you know, academics can come along and say he never claimed and nobody ever took him to or understood him to think that he was God. I mean, the Bible makes it so clear that Jesus himself declared himself to be God. In fact, even in Mark chapter 14, when Jesus appeared before the high priest, the question was asked of him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And boldly Jesus said, I am.
Right.
He made it clear.
Yeah. All of those terms throughout the Gospel of John, the I am passages, I mean, he was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be one with the Father. And you mentioned that. The reaction of the Jewish leaders when took up stones to stone him.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I've done many good works. Why are you stoning me? And they said, well, we're not stoning you for that. We're stoning you because you, being a man, make yourself to be God.
Right, right.
I mean, they understood what he was saying.
Absolutely.
His claims, I hear this all the time. His claim, well, he never claimed to be God come in the flesh. Well, no, you don't find those words, those exact precise words in Scripture. You find him couching his terms very carefully, very orchestrating the things in his life that
right.
very methodically. He knew what he was doing, and people knew what he was saying. They understood very clearly.
They were accusing him of blasphemy.
Right.
And blasphemy is a word against God,
right.
claiming that, you know, he was elevating himself to God. Our time is drawing to a close so quickly. I just want to mention that not only does the Bible declare Jesus to be God, not only does Jesus himself claim to be God, but all throughout the New Testament, the divine attributes are ascribed to Jesus.
Right.
Omnipotence, omniscience, immutability. I mean, you know, the ability to forgive sins, the right to be worshiped. all of these things are ascribed to Jesus Christ, the God-man. Yeah. And those are all attributes. I mean, only God could have the power to forgive sins.
Right.
Only God could be, you know, eternal, as was the claim of Jesus. And all throughout the scriptures, we find these divine attributes ascribed to Jesus Christ. Salvation comes by trust for your eternal well-being in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Right.